funeral, a lifelong friend of my father's had passed away, and family asked if I would come and officiate the funeral there, and did. Got home last night and started to look at a couple of things, and something distracted me, and I said, no, Lord, I think you want me to abandon what I was planned to do. And so, at 9:15 last night, I decided to write a new sermon for this morning. I don't do that very often. And I had to come in this morning, pull all the inserts out of the bulletin, so you don't have one for today. But I do want to tell you this. Momentarily, I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 1. But in the meantime, there are some other things that I do want to share. Because there was some news that came out of Washington, D.C. on Friday that upset some of us, like me. Okay. Go to the next slide. Up at the top, that's the website. You can take a picture of it. What I want you to see, though, and if you're not a computer person, up there is either https://, and it says www.justice.gov. That .gov, that means this website was produced by our federal government. This is not something that's quoted from some side source. This is straight out of the mouth of the
federal government.
Yes, thank you. I was looking for a word other than the one in my head. Here's an excerpt from what it reads on this website. The U.S. Departments of Justice and Education released Joint Justice today to help provide educators the information they need to ensure that all students, including transgender students, can attend school in an environment free from discrimination based on sex. Let me pause there to say this. That's a good thing. Everybody should feel safe in school. Everybody. But let's read on. The guidance explains that when students or their parents, as appropriate, notify a school that a student is transgender, the school must treat the student consistent with the student's gender identity. A school may not require transgender students to have a medical diagnosis, undergo any medical treatment, or produce a birth certificate or other information document before treating them consistent with their gender identity. You with me on that? Okay. I picked out these excerpts because I thought they were the plainest. Okay. Now I'm going to read this next section. The guidance also explains schools' obligations to respond promptly and effectively to sex-based harassment of all students, including harassment based on a student's actual or perceived gender identity, transgender status, or gender transition. Treat students consistent with their gender identity, even if their school records or identification documents indicate a different sex. Allow students to participate in sex-segregated activities and access sex-segregated facilities consistent with their gender identity, and protect students' privacy related to their transgender status under Title IX
and the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. So, here's the deal. I'll use an example of a boy. I could use a girl, but I'll just use a boy. If a boy says he's a girl, he can go anywhere a girl can go and do anything a girl can do. He cannot be questioned regarding his background or his motive or anything else. There is no provision that the gender identity must be permanent. Therefore, a student is free to identify as a female on Tuesdays and Thursdays and a male on the other days of the week. This is a mess. So, how big of a mess? I ran across this video and I asked her if she'd set it up. So, it's not too long, it's a little longer than I usually like to show, but it, in my mind, really explains well the logic that's put behind this type of thinking. So, Sue, please.
Because at the end of the day, the person is just a person.
No, I don't think it should matter.
existence on a social level or simply a product of a biased society.
Then is there a reason to have those labels, male and female?
I don't think so. I think that it's, again, a social construct of binary that we're given at birth. There is kind of a difference, but at the same time, if someone wants to identify as one or both or as nothing, I also find that completely okay.
There is nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two halves, male and female. Yet the most intelligent of those species seems to be wrestling with whether male or female are actually real things. Have we discovered something new, or have we become too cluttered for our own good?
Sometimes I call ladies sir by accident to get very offended.
So, local, Seattle University.
So I see your resume, yes.
Thank you. So let's say, for example, that I came up to you and said that, you know, I am a woman. That I
have
decided to self-identify as a woman. Okay? Now, I know you guys. My wife's like, it's not okay with me. Now, I know you guys, I may be upset about that, but obviously, if I was somewhere else, that would be fine. So if I self-identified as a woman, that'd be okay. So what if I decided to self-identify also as, say, Chinese?
So politicians do that.
Some politicians seem to do that. Would that be okay for me to self-identify as Chinese? So would it be okay for me to be a Chinese woman?
No, because that's racist.
Well, what if I told you, let's just take the race card out then. What if I told you that I was going to self-identify as 6'5" tall? If I believe it, isn't that really all that matters? Can I be 6'5"? Is that okay?
Sure.
Somehow I feel that's condescending when you say that. Thinking I need some rights here. What if I decide to self-identify myself as, say, 7 years old? Is that okay? So,
if you're 7, Dave, you need a closer shave.
If I'm 7, I need a closer shave. But if I'm 7 years old, then I could theoretically go back and redo first grade, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm self-identifying as a 6'5", 7-year-old Asian female.
You won't be graduating.
So that's who I am. And you all need to respect that and make special laws for me. Make it safe for me. Right?
Excuse me, the door is back.
This whole self-identity thing has gone out of control. It's gone out of control. So, I read what the government has to say. That's what's going to be going on out here, Chimicum School. Boys are going to be able to go in the girls' locker room. I can't imagine why the girls would want to go in the boys' locker room. I've been in there, it's not all that wonderful. Can't speak for the girls, but I can't imagine it's all that wonderful in there either. But now our students, our children, total side note, a few years ago, Colleen and I took foster care parenting
classes. We had, had a little girl living with us, so we were moving toward becoming foster parents so she could stay with us. That changed. But during the course of the class, one of the things that we were instructed by the state teacher was that if the child identified themselves as homosexual, we had to respect that. And she was looking at me when she said it. So I thought that meant she was looking for a response. So I said, I said, these kids will be under 18, right? She said, yes. In my house, they don't have any sexual orientation until they're over 18. In my house, if they can't manage their sexual orientation, they're staying home with me. Because that's where it's safe. Because if they're experimenting and trying to figure things out, that's what I always call getting in trouble. They didn't really want me to be a foster parent. We've heard what the government has to say. We've heard some about the conservative movement there and what was on the video. And so now I want to take you to Romans chapter 1. And I have a fairly large, long scripture reading, but I didn't want to leave any of it out. So it's Romans chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 16, we're going to go all the way to verse 32, because I think it's important that you hear it all. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 24. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for all, with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Now, we have to ask ourselves if there's a problem. The government is telling us one thing, and really society is pulling us in two different directions. One portion of society agreeing and encouraging the government with the what I read earlier from the government website. Another side pulling the other direction, as like the gentleman in the video. But you know, aren't we supposed to obey the law? You know, if the president says how it's supposed to be, aren't we just supposed to accept that? In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment." So, it says right there, we're supposed to obey the government. So the government says you can use whatever bathroom you want. I guess that's okay. It is true that the governing authorities that exist have been instituted by God. But sometimes God gives good authorities as a blessing. And sometimes he institutes evil rulers as a means of trial or judgment in order to bring us as his people back around to a place of humility and repentance. Now, if you were paying attention, you may ask, "Pastor, did you just call our president evil?" No, of course not. That would be cold and cruel and judgmental of me. No, I'm just reading from the Bible. The Bible which says, I decided to add another verse to that. Here we go. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." So you see, I'm not calling anyone evil. The scripture does. Mm-hmm. It's never been my job or our job to judge anyone. Mm-hmm. God's got a handle on that. It's our job to be people of the Word. It's our job to be people who are, as Romans 1:16 says, people who are not ashamed of the gospel. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Now, I need to ask, do you believe? Now, I assume you've come to church, so I will assume you're believers. But But how much of the scripture do you believe in? See, here, a copy of the Bible. And many people believe in God. And many people believe that Jesus died for our sins. And they say, that's all I need to know. And you know that what? That is all we need to know for salvation. But that's not enough to pass the message on to the next generation. So if believing in God and believing in Jesus is enough for you, you're really just saying, I'm saved and to hell with everybody else. And I mean to use hell as a noun, not an expletive. We have to have opinions on this stuff. And we have to speak it out. It's not okay any longer to sit on the sidelines and just be quiet.
Amen.
Doesn't give us license to be rude. Doesn't give us license to be mean. But we've always had the license to say, that's not what God wants. And more of us need to be saying, that's not what God wants. So that's my challenge to us today. Number one, to believe in God. Number two, to believe in Jesus. And number three, to listen to these teachings like this one today that are adding more color to the scripture so that you can understand what the scripture is saying. So that you will follow the whole of the scriptures. So that when your children and grandchildren and neighbor children and children in church ask questions about gender identity, you're going to be able to give them an answer. You're just fine how God made you. You're just fine. God didn't make any junk. He made you unique in your spot and in your place. Relax. Be yourself. Don't worry about what label man wants to put on you. Just be who God's created you to be. Let the judgment, the cares, and the worries of this world go. Stand on what is firm. And when the government comes in to your house and your neighborhood and says, thou shalt confuse the children, say, not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand confident because I know God and I know His Word. I'll plant both feet on the rock. And that is enough.
Amen.
You can't know God's Word if you don't read God's Word. You can't know God's Word well if you skip church half the time. Quarter of the time. You've got to be here. You've got to learn the whole counsel. It's important that you read your Bible throughout the week. It's important that you be involved in both studying and doing. I believe we're in the end of days. If we're not in the end of days, we are certainly in some weird days. Either way, you need to be read up, prayed up. You need to be ready. Go on. Get it. Fess up. Folks, are you ready to stand on the cross? Father, we just want to come before you this morning. Lord, I feel like there's people out there that are trying to confuse us. And Father, you give them over that they would have these delusions. So Father, if you're good with them being crazy, I guess we need to be good with them being crazy too. But But you're not good with us being crazy. So we're going to need your help. We're going to need your help to stand firm. We're going to need your help how to speak in love, how to speak in tenderness, how to be gentle, how to be kind. It's so easy to get mad and be indignant, tell people what we think. We need, Lord, to learn how to stand and tell them what you think. You think we're worth it. You think we're worth the fight. You think we were worth the cross. You think we were worth your Son crucified. So, Father, help me to see my neighbor as you see him. Help me to see my president as you see him. Help me to see my governor and that crazy liberal down the street. Help me to see him that way, too. And Father, my super conservative neighbor that lives down and around the corner, Lord, help me to see him with love and kindness as well. Because Father, we need it. You need people who are shining bright and shining light. So let, Lord, our righteousness show. Help us, Father, to not be quick to fight. Help us to be quick to listen, quick to pray, quick to care, that we might be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand again.